Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We love to celebrate anniversaries, don't we? Sometimes a celebration is an observance, more of an observance than a joyous occasion. This year, for example, is the centennial year of America's entrance into the Great War, World War I. And the celebrations so far have been somber, remembering the fallen in the conflict. But birthdays are celebrations, they're anniversaries in a sense. In fact, the French expression for happy birthday is joyeux anniversaire. Chances are someone here is celebrating a birthday this week. In fact, we know. We celebrate anniversaries, wedding anniversaries. New lovers celebrate the day they met, the day they kissed for the first time, the day they went grocery shopping for the first time. Everything. Kids love to celebrate everything. And we celebrate notable events or discoveries in history. We celebrate the birthdays of people who made a difference in the world, like presidents, Washington, Lincoln, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. And speaking of the man whose birthday we celebrate every January, this is the day that we celebrate the 500th anniversary of a movement ignited by this man for whom Martin Luther King Jr. was named. We celebrate the Reformation. It's kind of like, I told somebody yesterday, it's like celebrating a divorce, however. You know, it's like a split had happened and now we celebrate the split. What's more interesting is that as the 500th anniversary continues, we celebrate what we have more in bands of unity than we do in divisions. And that is, in and of itself, a laudable thing to do. The Reformation was more a movement, was a movement, but more than that. But Martin Luther did 500 years ago on this Tuesday, sparked the reform, the protest that came to be known as the Protestant Reformation. So what did Luther do? Luther went to the church door and of Wittenberg, and he posted a sign on the church. I posted it on the pulpit, just in case you wanted to see it. The 95 Theses. He put them here, and we have them translated for you so you can get an idea of what it is. It was called the Disputation of Dr. Martin Luther on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences. That's the proper name. Whew. That's a mouthful. It was written in Latin, printed by a local printer. The printing press had become the internet of that time. And suddenly the word went out. The printing press was new, but it was the invention that probably saved Luther's life. Luther's 95 propositions were printed on a folio sheet and tacked to the door of the castle church. And the castle church door is kind of like, you ever see the, you know, when you go down a street and you see the sign says garage sale on a telephone pole? Same thing. They would post all kinds of stuff on church doors at the time. And that's what happened. And it caused an immediate stir. This action of posting these 95 theses was quickly recognized as the beginning of a religious, theological, and cultural change of tsunami proportions. As early as 10 years later, on the 10th anniversary of this posting, Luther himself and a few of his buddies got together in a local pub to celebrate the trampling out of indulgences. We have a record of that. They had a party. Philip Melanchthon, another Reformation figure, regards this date as the beginning of the Reformation, and his writings in 1548, in the history and life of the Acts of Luther, he proclaims it as such. 100 years later, in 1617, the posting of the theses was celebrated by a procession to the Wittenberg Church, where Luther was believed to have posted these theses. According to one source, an engraving was made showing Luther writing the theses on the door of the church with a gigantic quill, and the quill penetrated a lion's head, symbolizing who? Pope Leo the X. Poking fun at that. So what do the signs say? What Luther posted was not an essay or a sermon, but a series of propositions, of statements, by which he had hoped he'd have some debate. The major issue was as the title of the document indicates, was the indulgences. The first proposition read this, and reads this, you can look at it. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said, repent, do penance, willed that the whole of life of believers should be repentance. The rest of these theses argue similar points. Luther was deeply concerned about selling the get out of jail free card. I have one. I have a get out of hell free card that somebody somebody in the congregation gave me this. This is good for valid for all 7 + 1 deadly sins: sloth, pride, wrath, lust, envy, gluttony, greed, and stupidity. This card may be kept until needed or sold, it says on it. And it's your salvation courtesy of www.thisistrue.com. So you can get a get out of hell free card. That's what Luther was fighting against, you see. This card, this indulgence. The indulgence could be bought for yourself or bought for somebody who is in purgatory. So you can get them out of purgatory, you know. The popular song was, as soon as a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. You could get your family members and your spouse or your children or anybody out of purgatory. Luther felt that the church was teaching people that they could literally buy their way into the kingdom by buying God's favor, when in fact the sale of indulgences was fattening the wallets of local ecclesiastes and the treasury of the larger church. Luther scholar Eric Gritsch once wrote that indulgences had become complex instruments of granting forgiveness of sins. The granting of forgiveness in the sacrament of penance was based on the power of the keys given to the apostles according to Matthew 16:18, and was used to discipline sinners. And so Luther comes along and says no. Luther argued that sins could not be forgiven, nor could salvation be gained by making forgiveness and salvation a commercial transaction. We cannot buy forgiveness, nor can we buy our way into heaven. From these conclusions came three major ideas that have influenced the way we understand our relationship with God to this day. And the ideas, we already said them this morning. Retaining the Latin, sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. That is what brings salvation. Sola Scriptura, central to Luther's view, was the primary focus of Scripture as the theology of the cross that emerges from it. While Romans 1:19-20 says that the people can know that there is a God from their experience of the created world, that knowledge does not lead them to know God, who God is. Think about that. You can look at creation and say, isn't God great? I see God in creation. Do you? Well, Luther would say, if you see God in creation, then you are an idolater because you are worshiping idols. That's where sun worship comes from, tree worship comes from, the worship of weather, wind, and rain. You have this idolatrous thing. That's kind of, it's from God. Luther says, no. You don't deserve to be called a theologian if you just point to the creation as pointing to God. Instead, a true theologian, says Luther, is someone who comprehends the visible and manifest things of God seen through the suffering on the cross. The one in whom we are to trust is the one who hung on the cross and who was raised on the third day. As Luther says in support of that claim, true theology and recognition of God are in the crucified Christ. This is a paradox. The statement about the cross will be apparent if the traditional hymn for this Sunday is sung. And we just sang it. Isn't it strange that the image of a mighty fortress used for the one who was crucified on the cross in weakness? Do you realize that Luther wrote a mighty fortress is our God after his daughter died? Was a response to the death of his daughter. In the midst of the suffering and death, of his daughter he raised and said, a mighty fortress is our God. The Christ is the central one. The one who died on the cross is true God. Knowledge of this comes to us through Scripture and through Scripture alone, says Luther. And then we have grace alone. Only by God's grace are we reconciled to God. Nothing we can do can earn God's favor. Now, there's a tough line because we don't really believe that sometimes deep in our souls. There's a subtle sense that we still have in our hearts that we believe today, and we have this sense of the virtue and fairness that we tend to believe that God is also fair. And being fair, God will give people who try hard, give it their best effort, and live a good life, a clean ticket into heaven. Luther said that no one is embraced by God because of good works. God's world is not a meritocracy. You know, the more merit you have, the better you are. It is only because of God's grace and unmerited favor that we are invited to be a member of the family of God. In November 1999, the Lutheran World Federation and the Pontifical Council for the Promoting Christian Unity issued the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. I have it in my office. It said this: by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving work, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping us and calling us to do good works. It is God's merit that does it, not ours. Luther's view was also adopted as recently as 2005, when delegates to the World Methodist Conference voted unanimously to adopt the declaration, which read in part that the 1999 agreement expresses a far-reaching consensus in regard to the theological controversy which was a major cause of the split in Western churches in the 16th century. Our salvation by grace alone, or by grace and good works? Grace alone. That's where we are, you see. We've always been there as the church. That's who we are as Lutheran. It defines us. It defines us. Scripture, grace, and then faith. Faith alone. Our trusting in Jesus puts us right with God. This view is advanced by Luther, also known as justification by faith alone. You heard it this morning read. It assumes that there was a great divide between God and humanity, that we are in need of reconciliation. This reapproachment occurred on the cross. We cannot do anything to achieve reconciliation on our own. We can only receive this by faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Then and only then, we are reconciled to God. Commenting on question 59 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Gary Neil Hansen tells of a little experiment that he does in his theology class. In fact, I'll do it with you this morning. I want you to raise your hand if you are righteous. Raise your hand if you are righteous. Good. Just like his class, nobody raised their hand. He asked, why are these seminarians, or you good Lutherans, so reluctant to affirm this simple claim that is found in our confessions? Our problem is the heavy load of baggage that we bring to the issue. If someone claims to be righteous, we fill it with all kinds of definitions. We assume that being righteous comes from personal achievement or virtue, attained by personal effort. We hear these words as a claim that someone has kept the Ten Commandments and all else that is required to be good perfectly. We assume nobody can do that. Fortunately, because of God's grace, our failure to follow the law is not the issue. On my own, I'm guilty, but I'm not on my own anymore. Now that I'm in Christ, and in Christ I am righteous. It is strange that after 500 years, this fundamental Reformation truth about justification by grace through faith is still so hard for us to accept. We have no righteousness on our own. Instead, thanks to what Luther called justitia alium, or alien righteousness, we are ourselves considered righteous. Here are Luther's own words. Through faith in Christ, therefore, Christ's righteousness becomes our righteousness. and all that he has becomes ours. So if Christ is righteous, and through faith we become righteous, he gives it to us, you see? He becomes ours. Therefore, the apostle calls it the righteousness of God. We just heard that read, the righteousness of God. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And finally, in the same epistle, chapter 3:28, such a faith is called the righteousness of God. We hold that a man is justified by faith. This is an infinite righteousness, and one that swallows up all sins in the moment. So your righteousness of Christ swallows up your sin. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in an instant, we become righteous in the eyes of God because of not what we do, but because of what Christ has already done, and we take on Christ. We call ourselves Christians, people who are filled with Christ, then we are righteous. Remember that. Remember that. This righteousness is primary. It is the basis, the cause, the source of all our own actual righteousness. For this is the righteousness given in place of the original righteousness lost in Adam. Remember that line of scripture? As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. As Adam brings sin into the world and loses the righteousness, the right relationship that he has with God, so Christ comes into the world, he suffers and dies on the cross, he rises on the third day, and he imputes his righteousness to us. And we are made alive in Christ, not just after we die, but right now, this instant, this moment. We are people of the Reformation. That righteousness is ours. That's the impact of Luther's work. If you leave here with anything this morning, anything that I've said this morning, maybe the word you ought to remember is only. Only. Walk around saying only. You know, only God. Only God and Jesus. Only Scripture. Only grace. Only faith. So walk around and mutter the word only all day. And remind yourself, you are made right by God through Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross, who rose from the dead. He is the new Adam. And because he is the new Adam, we are in right relationship with God. Thanks be to God for the Reformation. Thanks be to God for Martin Luther. And thanks be to God who helps the world begin to see his righteousness made alive. So walk around and say and mutter only, only, only today.